Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. It's Wall Builders. We're taking on the hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, here with David and Tim Barton. David's America's premier historian and our founder at Wall Builders. Tim's a national speaker and pastor and president of Wall Builders, and all three of us appreciate you listening and encourage you to go to our website, wallbuilders.com. It's a great resource, folks. I can't stress enough. We need truth in our lives. We need good resources that we can trust. And at wallbuilders.com, not only are you going to have great materials for the whole family to be able to study history, to be able to be encouraged by the life stories of the people that sacrificed for our freedom, but you're also going to be able to plug in and recommend programs to the people in your life. So we've got pastors' conferences that we do twice a year in D.C. Great opportunity for pastors to go. I'm telling you, I've been on this thing, I don't know how many times. It's always inspiring. The spiritual heritage tour at the Capitol is amazing. The guests that David and Tim put together during that, 24 hours in D.C. It's just incredible. I cannot recommend it enough. Make sure you tell your pastor about it. There's still some room in the April program, but then we also have another one in September if that one fills up. But just check that out today at wallbuilders.com. And then also teachers, students, all kinds of programs in the summer that people can get plugged into. And I'm mentioning all that because it's so important for us to recognize that we have to be people of action, not just listening to the program, not just, being encouraged a little bit here and there, but also taking action in our communities. And I hope that you're looking for ways to lead in your family, at your church, in your neighborhood, host a Constitution class right there in your living room or at your church. There's just a lot of different options and ways for you to make a difference. And I hope that you're looking for ways to do that and that we're helpful in that, that we encourage you with our guests and our Good News Fridays and our Foundations of Freedom Thursdays. And just every time we're talking about all these different things, that it gives you ideas for things that you can do in your community. Or maybe there's a particular story that just really gets you excited because you realize that we're making a difference, that people, when they do step up and raise the banner, people will rally. Lots of ways for you to do that and be engaged. Check it all out today at wallbuilders.com. All right, David and Tim, last week we were talking, I can't remember if it was good. It was Good News Friday. I was thinking Foundations of Freedom Thursday, but it was Good News Friday. And Tim, you had a good news story about Jonathan Feldstein talking about that really the solution for Gaza is Jesus. And that's an Orthodox Jewish guy saying that. So you said, we should get him on the show. Well, guess what? We're going to have him on the show a little later today. And just as a quick reminder, can you remind people what exactly the story was about?
Yeah, his article was, the solution for peace in Gaza is Jesus. And he's an Orthodox Jew.
And let me add, he's an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. Not just an Orthodox Jew, he's an Orthodox Jewish rabbi.
Now, I guess that means he probably knows a little bit about the Torah.
It means that you're probably less likely to hear a comment from a Jewish rabbi than you are from a Jewish individual. So a comment that is outside of promoting Judaism.
A comment in favor of Jesus.
That's right. In favor of Jesus outside of promoting just Judaism. That's a really big, bold statement. I mean, that's because he is an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. And he's not unequivocal in his faith, and we love it. But that's a bold statement.
Well, and especially it identifies someone that's not insecure in their position.
That's right.
Because, obviously, Rabbi Daniel Lappin, one of our very good friends, he would talk about the importance of that. Yeah, Dennis Prager, right? Another rabbi, he would talk about this kind of stuff.
That's right.
And this is something that is not the norm coming from a Orthodox Jewish person, much less from a rabbi who is the teacher of Orthodox Judaism. But his position was, if you look at how do we solve the crisis in Israel, and from a kind of a global perspective, if you're trying to come up with solutions, which the UN is, right, and these outside groups and President Biden and all these people trying to offer Israel suggestions or really giving them directives, saying that you need to do a ceasefire, you need to, right, whatever the argument is, we're hearing more and more people in America, generally speaking, very much on the liberal Democrat side, saying that President Biden should be declaring what has happened in Israel a genocide. What Israel is doing to Hamas is genocide, which is just ludicrous if you understand the perspective. This is like the ultimate of 1984 when you say that peace is war and war is peace, right? You're changing what those words mean. Hamas is the one that committed the genocide on unarmed civilians in Israel. And yet you have this pro-Palestinian movement that is saying that Israel is targeting, by the way, not just not Palestinians generally, Hamas specifically, and they are very intentional about minimizing any civilian casualty anywhere they can. And yet, there are Americans, again, liberal Democrats primarily, and maybe specifically exclusively, who are saying that the president needs to say Israel's committed genocide, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's just really dumb positions out there of how people are suggesting that we will find peace in the Middle East. So for an Orthodox Jewish rabbi to say, really, that the best way you're going to find peace in Israel, the best resolution for this conflict, the best way to ensure this never happens again is Jesus. That's a stronger answer than some pastors in American churches would give, right? They wouldn't suggest, how do we find peace in Israel? They need Jesus. But you have an Orthodox Jewish man saying this. So this is really impressive. And I am excited to have Jonathan Feldstein on the program to unfold this concept for us a little bit more. It's a great article we talked about last week on Good News Friday. Still highly encourage people, go read the article. He's so brilliant and articulate in this article, but I'm excited to hear what he's going to say and how he can unfold those thoughts for us on this program.
All right, quick break. We'll be right back with Rabbi Feldstein. Stay with us. You're listening to The Wall Builder Show.
Hey guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to let you know about an opportunity coming up for pastors and ministry leaders. We are doing our annual pastors briefing in Washington, D.C., and we do this every year. We do one in the spring, we do one in the fall. This spring, it's April 16th and 17th. This fall, it is September 10th and 11th. This is one of the most significant things we do to encourage and challenge pastors in this culture we live in. It's in Washington, D.C., and Tuesday night, we do an after-hours tour of the U.S. Capitol, where we introduce pastors and ministry leaders to the history of the nation. The following day, we have congressmen come and they give a briefing on what they're doing and how God is challenging and motivating and using them. And frankly, most pastors, most ministry leaders, they don't know the rich spiritual heritage of the nation or what God is still doing, moving in the hearts and lives of leaders in this nation. I would encourage you, if you're a pastor ministry leader, you need to come to this. It's one of the best things we do at Wall Builders. To find out more, go to wallbuilders.com and look for the pastor's briefing.
Welcome back to Wall Builders. Thanks for staying with us. Jonathan Feldstein back with us. And Jonathan, I'm just going to tell you right here on the air for everybody else, I made my dad's Christmas by giving him your incredible book, gorgeous book, and just incredible stories in there as well, Israel the Miracle. So I know we're way past Christmas, but I hadn't had a chance to chat with you since then. So thank you for doing that and all the great authors you put together. Just what a thrill. It was awesome.
Well, we're way past Christmas, but we're getting lots of interest in the book, and it means so much for you to say that. And that it made your dad's Christmas. And so people get the book, IsraelTheMiracle.com.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. IsraelTheMiracle.com, folks. Pick it up right over there. Jonathan, you had a great article, a surprising article. I mean, this was really interesting to read over in the Washington Times. The solution for peace in Gaza is Jesus. So for coming from, as you say in the article, coming from an Orthodox Jew, this is a very interesting concept. So tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a little edgy. A couple of my Jewish friends have expressed their discomfort with my writing that. You know, especially I'm in the States this week, and especially hearing things coming from the White House pushing Israel for a two-state solution and for negotiations and what have you. It maybe once upon a time that was a reasonable plan, but really it sounds so ridiculous coming from anybody who wants to be intelligent and truly wants to have peace in the Middle East. We can't be talking about a two-state solution. We can't be talking about rewarding terrorists for committing terror by giving them a state from which they can continue to operate. None of that makes any sense, and on a whole lot of levels. But I'm not giving up. We live in Israel, and Israel's home, and no one wants peace more than Israel. So I really did a deep dive to try to figure out, okay, so what's the issue? And the issue is terror. The issue is Islamic extremism. The issue is that almost 2.5 million Gazans who are Muslim, 85% of them support Hamas. They celebrate Hamas even though their lives have been completely uprooted. So my solution is that Gaza does need to be entirely be rebuilt, but who should come in is an army of Christians. I think in the article I wrote, 100,000 actually probably should be, in order to have a biblical model, more like 200,000 people, Christians, who will come into Gaza, be responsible for the full rebuilding from under the ground up to build beautiful neighborhoods and cities and parks and hospitals and schools and places that they want to live and be proud of, but also to be fed a diet of theological love rather than the buffet of hate that they've been crammed down their throats for all these decades.
Man, talk about a radical shift. I mean, that and when I hear you describe that, what I hear is also it's quite literally the Judeo-Christian foundation of America. It's teaching and building a society based on treating your neighbor the way you want to be treated, based on, you know, truths that you share as a culture and essentially following, you know, don't murder, don't steal, don't deceive. I mean, that's what I hear when you say that. So what do other people hear when you say this?
Well, there's been a tremendous response. Honestly, I didn't really expect it. I wanted to write something that's edgy. I wanted to write something that was a little political to slap down the stupid people who are saying two states and say, no, that's a stupid thing to make. You sound unintelligent by even suggesting that. And so what I'm making very clear that once people get this diet of love and they understand that that Allah has failed them, and that they have a relationship with the God of Israel, then they'll begin to love the people of Israel. And then they'll understand, like the book, I mean, not to do the promotion for the book, but the significance of the modern state of Israel, and they'll want to live in peace. And I can drive an hour and a half from my home to a beautiful beach in Gaza one day and get a kosher hamburger on the beach because we could live in peace. And that doesn't need to be a diplomatic solution. It doesn't need to be a political solution. It needs to be a radical changing of hearts. And honestly, that's the only solution. There isn't going to be a diplomatic solution. Otherwise, we're just playing whack-a-mole with terrorists.
What does it look like, Jonathan? Like, what would be the practical steps necessary for, you know, quite literally business investments and you know, building there, rebuilding that area to be what you're describing?
Yeah. So I'm putting together a one pager so we as the Genesis 123 Foundation can become the catalyst for it. I was initially hoping that someone would hear it, take the idea, and run with it. That may not happen. So people have implored me, okay, Jonathan, so you run with it. Let's put together a framework. But what that means is we have entire cities that have been destroyed, and the level of destruction is a function of how deeply penetrated in Gazan society Hamas was and to a degree still is, at least in the hearts of the people. But from under the ground, under the homes, under their mosques, under their schools, under their hospitals, we have these terror tunnels. Miles and miles, hundreds of miles of them. Those need to be purged, and those need to be, and you can build underground transportation, actual transportation. You can build sewage.
Wow.
You can do things that are beneficial. You can build new roads and new neighborhoods and parks at above ground transportation and hospitals that are not used to hide terrorists and schools that are not used to hide weapons and get the UN the heck out of there. I almost said a different word, but I don't know if we're allowed to say that, so we'll just stick with heck. But we need to purge it. We need to completely rebuild. Gaza has been destroyed. Israel has gone in with the military might necessary, but it's a direct function of how much the terrorists have hijacked the society. So now we need to have a rebuilding. And it can't be the Arabs. No Arab state is trustworthy. That's why we have terrorists there to begin with. And I don't mean that as a slap at the Arabs, just fact. The United Nations, not trustworthy. Even the United States, I'm sad to say, not trustworthy, and certainly not the EU. So who can do it? An army of hundreds of thousands of Christians who will come in with the expertise in construction, in social welfare, in everything that's needed to create a society. And what an exciting opportunity, right? To build something from new, to erase the evil of the past and build something from new. And I pray for the 2.5 million people in Gaza that they will have a beautiful society and that we will have peaceful, loving Christian neighbors as a result.
Man, I you know, Jonathan, as you're describing this, I know we have listeners right now that have to be thinking, okay, Rick and Jonathan are smoking something. What is going on? This is crazy. And so I everything in context of history, it's easier to envision and see. And people forget that, I mean, Hiroshima and Nagasaki were completely wiped out, and yet you go there today or you look at pictures and it looks like a futuristic scientific city. It's just both of them because the inputs changed, and you had guys like Deming go over there and take those Judeo-Christian values and the basic concepts of a of a constitutional republic and a free enterprise system, and boom, man, you look now 80 years later, and the didn't take 80 years, it was much shorter than that. But anyway, so I have to throw that out there at you, because this is doable if you have willing parties. And granted, it's going to take more than the army of folks that you're talking about to go in and build. It's going to take, you know, the people in Gaza wanting it, in Israel, the leadership wanting it, that sort of thing. But if the parties are willing, it absolutely can be done.
Correct. But the other thing is, who else is willing? Is there anyone really willing to step up? Egypt is not. Jordan is not. The Saudis are not. Nobody's willing to step up and take responsibility. Mm. Not the U.S., not the U.N. No one's really, this is just a political hot potato that they're using against Israel. Oh, yeah, we don't like terrorism, but you're destroying Gaza, you're committing genocide, and that's bad. All of which is not true. But there does need to be, and no one else is saying this, that there needs to be a rebuilding of Gaza. But the other great reason for it being an army of 100 or 200,000 Christians is Christians will come in and love on the Gazans and want them to succeed, as I do, as most Israelis, I believe, do, and have meaningful, successful, prosperous lives. But Christians who will be there also don't want the Gazans to start smuggling weapons again and rebuilding terrorist infrastructure, because that's going to harm Israel, the state, and the people of Israel. And nobody wants that. Yeah. So it's really the most pure and most possible, albeit, yes, someone might think, Jonathan, what are you smoking, or as you said, or what's under your skull cap? But really, it's the solution. And I've had Jewish friends tell me, please don't send me any more emails. They're so offended by me suggesting that anyone needs Jesus, much less Gazans. But it's the only solution. And if we want peace, and if we want my grandchildren to ever not have to go in and combat like my son and son-in-law have been, you know, I'm never the smartest person in the room unless I'm the only person in the room. But I have to say, no one's got a better idea.
Even as you're describing that, and maybe remind some of your Jewish friends that are upset with you over this, that even that handful of non-Christian founding fathers in America still loved the religion because they saw the results of the kind of citizens that it created. So even though they didn't believe in Jesus as the Son of God or anything, they still liked the outputs, right?
Excellent point.
And that's
excellent
essentially point. What you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd like for them all to become Christian. I personally, yes, I would like to see a Christian Gaza, and churches replace the mosques, and freedom of worship and celebration of that, and tremendous prosperity. Gaza could be in 20 years from now what it should have been now had Hamas not come in and hijacked the society 20 years ago.
So powerful, man. So powerful. Talk about thinking outside the box. I mean, this is, I am very excited to have you back and just hear how the conversations are going and what, you know, what the developments are, because I love outside the box solutions like this. And you're right. Nobody else is saying this. They're so caught up in the same arguments that we've had for decades and decades, and everybody. Anyway, I just think it's incredibly interesting. I'm so glad David and Tim saw the article and said, Rick, we got to get Jonathan on to talk about this. Really, really intriguing. Man, God bless you. Thank you again for everything. And once again, I want to tell people about the book, IsraelTheMiracle.com. You got to go to the website and just see some of the folds, just see some of the layouts and the pictures. And it's just incredible. And it's so many people that we have here on Wall Builders that contributed to the book. I think you have 70 authors or something in there?
75 essays.
Yeah,
including Pat Roberts in the last public comments on Israel. Amazing.
Good stuff. Bless you, brother. Thanks for coming on,
Thank you, Rick. God bless.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with David and Tim Barton.
Hey, guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to tell you about our new book, The American Story, Building the Republic. We start with George Washington as president, and we've already become a nation, so really now it's how do we function as a nation? And if we look back in American history, the stability, the prosperity, success we enjoyed as Americans is because of the foundation that our early presidents laid, because of the examples they set. How do we live in America under the Constitution? What is the role of federal government? And really, what part did each one of these early presidents play? We go through the first 7 presidents, and a lot of people probably know the names Washington, Adams, Jefferson, and Madison. very few people know about Monroe or John Quincy Adams or Andrew Jackson. Now, we might know some of their names. We really don't know their stories. We want you to relearn, rediscover American history and see how it applies to today. Go to wallbuilders.com and get your copy of The American Story, Building the Republic.
We're back on Wallbuilders. Thanks for staying with us. And thanks to Rabbi Jonathan Feldstein for joining us. And I do encourage you to get that beautiful, beautiful book. Despite the fact, I mean, he even had contributors like this David Barton guy. I mean, I don't know, guys. Do you think, does that increase the value of the book, decrease the value of the book? I'm not sure.
I am just curious, thinking about this. I was going to make the joke and say, well, wait a second, right? I mean, that is probably someone who'd be identified as a Christian nationalist. But then I thought, wait a second. If Jonathan Feldstein is saying that Israel needs Jesus, does that make him a Christian nationalist of Israel?
He's a Christian internationalist.
Well, but he lives in Israel, yeah. So that's his nation,
true.
Right?
No, I get you now. Oh, you're right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Is he a Christian nationalist for Israel? Saying
Jewish,
that, like, I'm just
Orthodox,
I'm curious.
Jewish rabbi is,
right?
Yep.
Yeah, they have so defined that term to where essentially it means if you believe in God and believe, well, MSNBC, they had the interview and the lady came out afterwards and said, look, if you think they're God-given inalienable rights, you're a Christian nationalist. I think Rabbi Feldstein believes there are God-given inalienable rights,
right.
As
that's
do
right.
Most people in the world, which you can be outside America, apparently, and be a Christian nationalist by liberal definition.
Well, and going back to the interview, several things that I think are so good, as he pointed out in the article and said so clearly, unequivocally, you can't be a serious person and think that Hamas should be rewarded by getting land in Israel after what they did, right? That you're going to say, here's the solution. Let's give these Muslim Arabs land because they attacked Israel. That is not a serious thought. And he's so bold in saying that.
Let me interject here. That's called the two-state solution. You're going to hear a lot about that in the presidential campaign. When they talk about two-state solution, that means, hey, give these guys some land. Let them have a nation inside Israel or beside Israel so they can keep attacking us. No. Trump has now taken the position. Before, in his first term, he was a two-state solution guy. This time, he's a one-state solution guy. He's changed that position, and it's this very reason, this kind of logic.
Well, and one of the things that Jonathan said, too, in the interview, I think was different from a little bit from his article. I think the article, and I read the article last week, so I could be remembering this wrong, but I feel like in the article, he said we need 100,000 Americans. And in the interview today, he talked about 100,000, then changed it to, no, maybe 200,000. Maybe we need more Christians over here. And I think the point is so valid. Rick, you brilliantly pointed out that when people look at what is happening in Israel, we think, right, this is too big. It can't be done. And certainly not soon. But then if you go and look at Japan, right, and after Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the destruction of what happened in Japan, and you look at it today, you would never know that one of the greatest destructions in world history happened there just a couple of decades ago, right, relatively speaking, and it's totally different. And part of what made the difference, Dad, I think I've heard you talk about this before, General MacArthur, who was one of the ones in charge of Pacific Theater and certain areas and operations, but especially the rebuilding of Japan, he was one of the generals overseeing the rebuilding of Japan. And one of the things MacArthur called for was Christian missionaries to come to Japan.
5,000 missionaries. Give me 5,000 missionaries and give me Bibles. And he's the guy in charge of reconstructing Japan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He understood that what led them to do what they did was military Shintoism, the belief largely embraced in Japan. And it was a belief, I mean, similar in some ways to a kind of Islamic jihad perspective. And he said, we have to change that perspective or Japan will never change, right, the ideological structure of the nation. We need to change that perspective.
It'll never become part of the civilized world because they had the same kind of practices Hamas does, the same kind of terrorism, what they did to the Chinese, the genocides. And if you don't get some people in here to change their heart, they'll never be a different nation. Now, granted, Japan is not a Christian nation, but they picked up Christian behavior and Christian beliefs and Christian values, and they are a different nation. And I would argue that, and I don't think Rabbi Feldstein, he's a good friend, I don't think he necessarily understands it's not just Christians going in that'll change it, it's Christians going in with biblical views that will change it. And that's what's so key, because there's a lot of Christians that are anti-Israel. He's not asking for them. He's asking for people that live by the Bible like MacArthur did with those missionaries. Teach them the values. Teach them the right things.
And he definitely did imply some of that when talking about what you do to come in to kind of schools and hospitals and people that actually would carry out the Christian belief system
right.
and structure. That's what would make a difference. And, you know, maybe, Dad, to your point, there's a lot of people who don't understand that even inside of American Christianity, there's so many different belief systems and structures, and there's so many people that would identify as Christians that, you know, Jesus said, you know them by their fruits. And there's a lot of people that if we just look at their fruit, I would not think you were a Christian, right? Now, obviously, I don't know what they do and don't believe. I don't know if they believe Jesus is the Son of God, Savior of the world, that, right, he died and crucified and, right, resurrected. I don't know what they believe, but I know that I am not seeing the fruit
right.
of the belief of a Savior. But to Jonathan Feldstein's point, when you have Christians that their belief is lived out, if they would come, they could be the ones to make the difference, to reach the hearts, to reach the mind of the lost people, to help them know God, love people. And that would be the solution to finding peace in Israel. Just incredible conversation.
All right, folks, thanks again to Rabbi Jonathan Feldstein for joining us today. And I was joking earlier about, you know, David having a chapter in his book. It's actually really good, along with a lot of other great guys. So it's, you know, it's David Barton, it's Michael Brown, it's got Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, Kay Author. Oh, my goodness, there's so many in there. I could give you 75 different ones. Rafael Cruz, another great friend of the program, a lot of other people that we have on the program often. So it's really worth checking out, IsraelTheMiracle.com. Thanks for listening today. You've been listening to Wall Builders.